Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And part of this program, we try to come up with, we're talking to people that we know quite a few people are suffering out there. We've had mental health people on, and there are a variety of people have been suffering, some just because of lockdown, others financially because people have lost jobs, others have been on Job Seeker, Job Keeper, and all sorts of problems. And so today we've been really lucky. We've got hold of Kim Hubber. She's the team leader financial counselling program at Each. Now, before we introduce her, I must mention to you that the advice she's going to give you today is of a generalist nature. It's not fair to then come back and say, oh, well, she told us this. I mean, I guess with all these sorts of things, people, a council needs to sit down and look at the actual situation, where you are, what you owe and all that. So it is of a generalist nature, but I think it's going to be a terrific hour. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Alan. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Great. We're glad to have you. Kim, you are with Each. Now, would you like to tell us what sort of counselling you have available in the way of financial? Is it just generalist or what?
Okay, thanks, Alan. I'm a financial counsellor, and I've been in the industry of financial counselling for about 11 years. And at Each, we have quite a substantial financial counselling program that works in predominantly in the outer east for generalist contracts. So financial counselling, for those that don't know, is a free service. It's independent, confidential and non-judgmental. And we work with people to look at their financial difficulties, however small or however large, and to assess their situation and give them a personalised assessment and options around, you know, what they can do to hopefully regain some control and take some steps to get things back on track. So we offer what we call a generalist service, which is funded through Consumer Affairs Victoria across the Outer East, Maroondah, Yarra Ranges and Knox. And within that too, we also have a specialist family violence team, which is generalist, which is financial counselling for people who are impacted specifically by family violence.
Kim, is it, I don't want to sort of dwell into it too quick or too far, but is it true that when, particularly we're talking about ladies with, because I think guys tend to look after the finances too much at times, is it true that some women stay in violent situations just because financially they don't see a way out?
Absolutely. And there's also situations where sometimes economic abuse can be a form of family violence. So people become stuck, if you like, in relationships because of that economic abuse, and they maybe don't have access to money in order to be able to actually take some steps to make some changes in their lives. So it can be quite complex.
And what other, you were going to tell us about the other programs you've got.
No, that's fine. And so we also are part of Gamblers Help, which is funded through the Victorian Responsible Gambling Foundation, and that's in the outer east and also in the inner east of Melbourne. And that's a service to support people who are gambling or who are impacted by somebody else's gambling to minimise harm. And that offers therapeutic counselling, but also there's a financial counselling component to that as well. So we work with, as I said, people who are affected by someone's gambling as well as a gambler to try and assist them to, again, take some control back over their finances. You know, that might be around asset protection, you know, looking at, particularly if you're the affected other, you know, ways that you can protect yourself, because you might not be able to stop somebody else's gambling behaviour, but particularly in a partner situation, obviously there are impacts often for both parties. Mm. And we also just recently have obtained some funding through the Department of Human Services and Department of Jobs, Precincts and Regions, that's specifically for small business owners, particularly as a response to COVID. As we know, many small business owners have been extremely hard hit as a result of COVID and have been unable to operate businesses. And although some obviously have been able to tap into JobKeeper, not all small business owners were eligible. So there's been a lot of hardship in that space. So this is a specific financial counselling program to support and assist small business owners.
And I suppose as small business comes back, it's not going to roar back at 100 miles an hour, either, is it? I mean, some people are going to be frightened to go out, and some won't go where they used to go and that. So, I mean, the effect on financially on this could go on for a long while.
That's right. And we certainly expect to see the legacy for a long time to come. Mm. Absolutely.
Kim, all right, let's get down, I guess, to a bit more to specifics. Somebody sitting home today, they've been on JobSeeker or they've lost their job, they've maxed out their credit cards. And the other problem that I think is going to start to show up fairly soon is quite a number of people have either been able to do a deal with a landlord for 3 or 6 months, or they've gone to the bank and said, I can't make payments. Now, they're going to start to come back online again because the landlord's going to say, well, hey, I want my money and I also want the back bit that I let you off. And the banks, while most of them, as I understand it, while they've been giving you a bit of a reprieve, they've still been adding interest. So all of a sudden, this is going to happen. So what would your advice be that people should start to look at?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everyone needs to take stock and do a bit of an assessment of their own personal situation and then look at, you know, if they need assistance, coming to a financial counsellor sooner rather than later, because you're absolutely right. There's been lots of interventions and appropriate responses by lenders, banks, utility companies, you know, telcos, whole range of different institutions. But everyone's responsible ultimately for their own situation, and the advice and assistance and support that can be provided by a financial counsellor, because it's independent and it's tailored to your personal situation, you know, it's an opportunity for you to sit down with a financial counsellor and actually go through, you know, what the different options might mean for you, and to, you know, be able to make some informed decisions. And a financial counsellor can actually intervene and offer advocacy and negotiation with creditors on your behalf if that's what you require. So, you know, there's quite a breadth of options there, and really it depends on the individual. So financial counsellor will do an individual assessment when someone comes through to the service, and then they will work through what the options are and discuss that with you. So we work alongside our clients. You know, the client drives the process, but we work alongside to work through the range of options, the consequences, and the level of intervention that we offer is really dependent on, you know, what individual person wants.
So it's not a case of they came to see Kim today and then she says, oh, well, this is the situation, now buzz off and do it all yourself. So that it's not just a case for the one-off coming to you, that you can actually help them.
Right. Absolutely. That's right. So, you know, some clients might only need one or two appointments. Others will need longer-term assistance. We're not limited to, you know, a certain number of sessions. It's really, you know, what we negotiate, you know, with the individual person presenting for assistance. And as I said, you know, if they feel comfortable and just need the information and, you know, the signposts about where to go and what to say or what to do, then that's fine. Alternatively, you know, if they want us to advocate, obviously we have to obtain consent from the client formally, and then we can actually advocate on their behalf. But again, every step of the way, the client's involved. You know, we're an advocate, so we would advocate with the creditor, come back to the client, discuss the next steps, and then go from there. So it's very much a walk alongside approach.
Kim, I should ask you, is it better that people come sooner than later if they can see things are starting to get not out of control a bit, that they should come quicker than rather put off until it's just a hopeless mess?
Yes, I mean, look, the early intervention is good in any sphere, and certainly in financial matters, absolutely. Not only does it give you more time, it's less stressful. People can make more informed decisions. They're not under the pump. They're not at the pointy end of things. And it also enables them to have more control through the process, because sometimes, you know, you can't always achieve the optimum outcomes, but it gives you time then to work through a process, and also to work through some different options. So you might try with less invasive ones first.
I guess the other thing too, that it's no good if you can see a situation arising, it's no good putting it off, because particularly if you're dealing with a financial institution, they're never going to forget about you, are they? It's not like, right, oh, well, I'll go away.
No, that's right. And I think it's also being realistic, and financial counsellors don't have magic wands. You know, at the end of the day, we need to realistically work out, you know, what are the options and what are the best options given the scenario. And obviously with COVID, it's a whole new scenario that none of us have experienced before. So for some people, you know, they're inability to manage their finances or their difficulties or their challenges with their financial difficulty are imposed upon them because of COVID. And, you know, as restrictions start to ease, they may be able to get back on track. But for other people, maybe their situations were such that they weren't tracking along so well, you know, prior to loss of income or reduction of income. Or for some people, it might be that they can't go back to the level of income that they had previously because, you know, they may have reduced hours or they may not have jobs to go back to. So it's about, I guess, reassessing what your situation is and being realistic about what you may be able to do to influence, you know, your income or your earning capacity moving forward. And for some people, they'll get back on their feet. They may need time and they may be, you know, need to work through options with, as I said, whether it's utility providers, telcos, insurance companies, banks, whoever it is. But for others, they may not be able to get back on their feet. So it's about looking at, okay, if that's the case, you know, what are your options here? Because obviously we want people to come out of financial difficulty as best that they can so that they can then regroup and move forward.
Kim, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Listening to the voice of the valley, Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where it's 27 minutes past one and we've popped up to 27 degrees. One more to go. And I should mention that track is one I pinched out of Greg's from his Oz Indie show. And, of course, Greg will be on at 3 o'clock, between 3 and 5, with the Oz Indie playing those sorts of Australian new releases. Hope he wasn't planning on playing that one, because if he is, I've already pinched it from him. Anyway, the show is Community Connections, and I have with me Kim from Each, and she's a financial counsellor or a team leader in financial counselling. Kim, you were going to tell us a bit about some of the situations that people find themselves in, please.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Look, I guess people typically come to us with a whole variety of financial issues. I guess predominantly our work is around assisting people where they've incurred debts, and that can be a whole range of different scenarios. So I was just going to run through a few examples of the types of issues that people will often come to us with. So obviously housing is a big issue, particularly affordable housing, particularly out here in the Outer East. Increasingly, it's getting more and more difficult to find affordable housing, so it can be quite challenging at times. And people often spend a considerable amount of their income on their housing, whether it's rent, mortgage, whatever. And obviously, that then has an implication for the amount of income that's left over for other essentials and also for, other types of activities. So we can assist people where they get into difficulties with their mortgage, and that may be about negotiating alternative repayment arrangements with lenders. It may be about suspending payments for a period of time if something's occurred and they need some time to reassess options or to find a new job if they've lost employment or something like that. So there's a range of different sort of solutions that can come into play. And sometimes it is that worst case scenario where, you know, we do need to work through with somebody if it's not a sustainable situation ongoing, that perhaps the best option may be for them to actually consider a sale of the property where they're in control of that process still.
Kim, do you find that the banks really want to help you, or do you find that the banks just shut the door in a lot of ways? I'm not having out the banks.
I would say generally in my experience the banks want to help. The banks don't really want to take a property from somebody. They will work, quite proactively with financial counsellors or with individuals to find a way that they can sustain their situation. But obviously because a mortgage is a big expense and it's the biggest expense most people have in their budget, there comes a point where, if they're unable to do anything to change their situation such that they can meet their obligations moving forward, that, a lender may feel that they need to implement legal action to actually start recovery processes. And it's never lost until the sort of 11th hour. There's always opportunity at any stage in a recovery process for something to change. But we, again, particularly with mortgages, encourage people to come to us sooner. Don't wait till it's been through a legal process and the sheriff's knocking on the door. Come and see us early, because that way we can work together to see what options are available. Check in if you've got insurances. A whole range of different things can come into play. And sometimes people can do things to, save their properties, I suppose, and then they can continue on.
Kim, would that be one of the biggest reason or they're in financial trouble over a house, or is that just too simplistic?
That's probably a little simplistic. I mean, as I said, housing is obviously the biggest expense out of most people's budget. So whether you're renting or it's a mortgage, you've got to find some way of being able to do that to meet that ongoing cost. Otherwise, things are going to break ultimately. And sometimes if your housing cost is too high and you don't have enough money left for other expenses, you're making difficult choices. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Do you pay the mortgage? Do you pay the electricity bill? Do you put food on the table? It is quite complex. But housing costs are often something that drives people to us, but certainly not the only one. Credit and debt, credit and loans is another big driver. Credit cards, as we all know, very easy to get, very hard to get rid of.
And the interest rate doesn't seem to come down on those, like they do on housing loans, but not on credit cards.
That's right. Credit card interest rates generally are significantly higher than mortgages and also for personal loans. And particularly if people use their credit cards to access cash advances, the interest rate is high. And depending on the product that you've got with which institution you've got it with, some do charge pretty high interest rates. So people can come unstuck there, particularly if they just pay minimum payments off a credit card. They don't really move forward. And sometimes they don't understand that because for whatever reason, it's easy to spend and it's just, you know, people don't go into credit situations anticipating that they won't be able to pay. It's just circumstances change over time.
And sometimes it's just too easy, isn't it? If you've got a plastic in your pocket, you see something you like, it's very easy to buy.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's immediate, it's there, and you think about the consequences later. But it can quickly unravel. And as I said, it's very easy to get, and the banks have had a role to play in that over the years because things have certainly moved away from it being extremely easy to access credit. But, you know, for many years it was extremely easy to access credit with very little checking, which has resulted in some people getting into difficulty.
Kim, do you find, and this is probably very apt or time that we're talking about this, around Christmas time, a lot of people seem to put a lot of money on plastic, don't they? Because they want to give their children the best presents they can and they want to be as good as the one down the road. So do you find a spike in problems again early in the new year?
Yes, generally we find that end of December, early January is fairly quiet, and certainly towards the end of January and February is when we do get a spike, because not only are your purchases from pre-Christmas catching up with you because your credit card bills are coming in, there's also the return to school costs for families. And, you know, even in the public school system, you know, there's school fees, there's books, there's uniforms, you know, it goes on and on. So end of Jan onwards, particularly the first few months of the year, people often really feel the pinch financially for a range of different reasons.
I was going to come across you. I hadn't thought of the fact that the plastic comes due about the same time that you're looking for money for the schools.
Yes. And, you know, there's a range of different options that are out there in the market as well now. It's not just credit cards. You know, in recent times we've seen the emergence of buy now, pay later schemes, which are readily available and promoted quite heavily at the point of sale in various sort of shopping centres, you know, in just everyday shops. So people can, again, it's a means to an end. You know, they want to buy those things for family members and loved ones at Christmas time and don't think about how that's going to implicate, you know, down the track when obviously you need to repay. So credit comes in various guises these days. But I guess it's just always, you know, buyer beware.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is too that I guess we've changed a bit, didn't we? I mean, once upon a time, if you didn't have any money in your pocket, you didn't buy. But now you've got the plastic, and it's just too easy to buy something and not worry about it until it's too late.
That's right, and I guess we live in a society now where there's instant gratification. You know, we want it all, and we want it all today. Yep. You know, many, many years ago, obviously, people sort of tended to save towards a goal. Society's shifted, culture that we live in has shifted, and certainly marketing and advertising is well ahead of us on that, and they, you know, inundate us with all these things we think we need, and we may or may not, or we may or may not be able to afford it, but it's the world that we live in.
Well, we don't need anything if we can't afford it, can we? Do we?
Well, no. And sometimes it's about, you know, prioritising, because, and I guess this is something financial counsellors will often do with clients, is, you know, when we're looking at an assessment of someone's financial situation, you know, what are your priorities? You need somewhere to live. So housing has to be first, and then you work back from there. You need heating, you need cooling, you need access to hot water, and so, you know, gas, electricity, water, telecommunications, as we all know, particularly this year more than ever since COVID, is absolutely up there. You know, we need access to phones, internet. You know, that's, again, the society we live in. And then, again, working back from there, food. You know, we all need access to good food and affordable food. Medication, transport, and then, you know, clothing. You know, the list goes on. But sometimes you do have to prioritise, particularly if you're on a fixed income, if you're on a Centrelink income, you know, your income is limited and therefore you've got to make some really tough choices sometimes about, you know, where you allocate your funds. And sometimes people can't credit. And, you know, sometimes they might have incurred it, but then they can't afford it.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to categorize. And what you're saying is true, though, that we tend to want it all now, and I guess we can't. You can't afford everything right now, can you?
No, that's right. And I think it's being mindful of if you do need something, so say for example an appliance breaks down, particularly an item like a fridge, you know, it's an expensive, costly item, but you can't really live without a fridge. So people just turn to what they can in order to get that, particularly if they're on a low income. I mean, for some people, it's relatively straightforward. You know, they can pop it on their credit card and they can pay it back. It's not an issue. I'm not saying credit cards are bad products or anything. They're just alternatives in terms of ways of paying for things. But for other people, they sometimes end up going into contracts for credit where they can least afford it. And because they may not have, well, they may have low income, so therefore they're not attractive to banks, and they end up going to alternatives, which might actually cost them more in the long run. So we do encourage people to look at things like no interest loan schemes, which are exactly what they say, and they're offered through both EACH and other community providers in the area, particularly for things like white goods, which are essential items, so that you're actually just paying back the money that you borrowed, and you can pay that back over a period of time. That's affordable. Again, there's an eligibility criteria like with anything, but it is about, you know, looking around to see, to get the best product to fit your own personal situation.
Kim, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Thanks.
Yep.
I just can't wait till the day when you knock.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. We're at 16 minutes to 2, 25 degrees. And I've got Kim with me, who's a team leader in the financial counselling at EACH. Kim, I'd like to ask you two questions, and you can answer them all together or however you want to. The first one is, if we're sitting at home now and we think it's hopeless, obviously, your first suggestion would be to find a financial counsellor. But what are some, or maybe it's not completely hopeless, so what are some strategies we could put in place, as like today and tomorrow and next week? And the second thing is, do you ever get people who come to you when it's absolutely should have come to you months ago because they're too embarrassed to have come to you?
So look, the first part of the question, look, I think as confronting as it can be at times, it is actually about just looking at the nuts and bolts, looking at, you know, what is your income and what are your outgoings? You know, there's lots of tools that are available online that can assist you to put together a budget, because I guess that's the point of starting, because you need to work out what your income is and what your expenditure is to see whether or not there's enough to cover everything.
And you need to be honest about that too, don't you?
Correct. That's right. And also too, you know, coming off the back of this year, you know, is that a temporary situation? Is that likely to change? When do you think it's going to change? Or do you need to do something different? You know, if you are on a Centrelink income, it's about maximising your entitlements and making sure you are claiming concessions and what you can, where you can, so that you can maximise the amount of disposable income that you've got to meet your expenses. You know, making sure you're claiming things that are available out there, like rent assistance. You know, if you're struggling with utilities, you know, are you eligible for a utility relief grant? And that's just not, for people on Centrelink incomes. There may be other people, depending on how much income you do have, that may be eligible. So it's looking around for grants and things that are available, you know, within the community, for you to access, to maximise, as I said, your disposable income for other expenses. Financial counsellors are a really good resource for that, and certainly will link you in and look for all of those sort of opportunities. As I said, is it a situation that's ongoing or is it temporary, if there's been a reduction in income? Because it might be a case of talking to creditors, talking to banks, talking to utility providers or your phone company to see whether or not, if it's a temporary situation, you can place things on hold for a period of time. But you need to be proactive if you do that, to see what you can do to change so that when that assistance period ends, that you've got a plan moving forward. And if you need some assistance to do that, that's where a financial counsellor, you know, can work you through the options. So it's really looking at the numbers, you know, I guess, as a starting point. And a financial counsellor can assist you to do that. And they can assist to vary contracts, you know, if appropriate. They can look at potentially if you're in a position where you could make what we call a full and final settlement. So you might have a lump sum that you could offer to knock out a debt. So, you know, let's say for argument's sake, you had a $3,000 debt and you could offer $1,500. You might be able to offer that sort of situation to a creditor who might accept that as a way of, you know, resolving that situation both for you and for them. You know, there are some circumstances where, you know, we may be able to get debt set aside for people. Again, it really depends on their individual circumstances, you know, whether they have assets, whether their circumstances are likely to change in the foreseeable future. We can also look at options around bankruptcy for some people. You know, some people want to shy away from bankruptcy, but there's a lot of myths around bankruptcy that people don't really understand it. So again, a financial counsellor can provide someone with information, they can talk through consequences, and then they can decide whether that's an option that they may wish to consider or not, you know, as the case may be. But I think the main thing is to communicate. So, you know, whether you're seeing a financial counsellor or you're wanting to manage things yourself, it's about communication. Often the other party, whether it's a utility company or a bank or whoever, Centrelink, whatever, you know, if they don't know that you're in trouble, they just know that you're not making payments. But if you make contact and you explain your circumstances, you know, there are trained teams within utility providers, telcos, banks, etc., hardship teams, that their job is to work with their customers to see if they can work out a way to navigate, you know, through financial difficulty. So being pragmatic, you're being realistic with what your circumstances are, thinking about short-term, medium-term, long-term, and communication, I'd say, is the key. And get in early. Don't wait until your arrangements are about to expire if you've already put things on hold. You know, get in early and seek help earlier. It's to your advantage in the long run.
So I guess the second question is, then do you ever get people who are just too embarrassed to come, and by the time they come, it's almost hopeless?
Look, we do, and that's not uncommon at all. And there's a whole range of reasons why people leave it to the last minute. Often people will expend all the resources that they can before they'll seek help. So, you know, they might try and borrow from family or friends, or they'll rob Peter to pay Paul and sort of stumble along for a period of time until you get to that point where, you know, it's no longer feasible and that they do need to seek help. So we would always encourage people to come sooner. But if they come later, that's better than never, because sometimes situations that they feel are hopeless actually aren't, because many people are not aware of what their rights are. They're not aware of the fact that they can get assistance and that banks and other providers will work with them in certain circumstances. So it's never too late to seek assistance. And we would certainly encourage people to make contact. And I guess because of COVID, most of our services have been delivered remotely, so from home. Most of our staff are working from home, so we've been offering telehealth, so whether that's telephone or video conferencing. So for some people, that's been a blessing, because they can contact in a more anonymous way than previously, when traditionally, I guess, our services were face-to-face, and that still is a preferred option for some. But if people do feel embarrassed, I guess telehealth does give a degree of anonymity, because we may never meet the person that's contacting us for assistance, and they may never meet us, or we may never see each other face-to-face. We might just be a voice at the end of the phone.
Oh, good. Kimbo, I'm just going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more.
Thanks
very much.
Cause I'm
Welcome back to Community Connections, and the time is 6 minutes to two. Can't believe how quick the hour's gone. And we're up to 27 degrees, aiming for 28 degrees, so we're just about there. I have with me Kim, as I've been saying. She's a team leader of the financial counselling program down at Each, and she's been telling us a lot about, you know, we shouldn't be sitting at home and just, if we've got problems financially and our debts are they're never going to go away, and we should be talking to somebody to help us out. So, Kim, first of all, can I ask you, are your services means tested?
No, we're a free service and anyone can access financial counselling.
Right, so now, hopefully, we're sitting at home, and if we have got problems, we want to do something about it. So how are we going to find out about Each, and how are we going to contact Each, please, Kim?
Okay, so look, there's a couple of different contact points I can give you. I guess at Each we operate with what we call a no wrong door philosophy. So there's no single point of entry and no point of entry is incorrect. So I guess the easiest way for people to find us is through our Each website, which has all our details and lists all the different services that we offer on the Each website. Or the main telephone number is 1300 003224. That's 1300 003224, and you'll be directed into the appropriate service or for financial counselling. We do also have a designated point of entry for financial counselling. We have a telephone number and an email address, so I'll provide those both to you now. So the telephone number is 9871 1817. That's 9871 1817. Well, we have an email address as well, which is FC, the letter F for flower, C for cat, intake, intake, at each.com.au. So that's FC intake, F for Freddy, C for cat, the word intake, at each.com.au. And for small business owners, we have a different point of entry, which is through the Partners in Wellbeing program, because the small business assistance for financial counselling is around addressing people's emotional wellbeing as well as offering financial counselling support. And the telephone number there is 1300 375 330. So 1300 375 330. I was just going to say, I should also say that financial counselling is generally offered 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, but we do have after hours some evenings a week, so people can request after hours if they're working during the day and it's not appropriate for them to contact during that time. And the small business financial counselling operates between 9 a.m. and 10 p.m. Monday to Friday, and Saturdays and Sundays from 9 to 5.
Kim, I was just going to ask you, I'm not here to have a go at any companies, but every now and again I see some of these situations where you don't have to make any payments for 5 years, but that's, someone's got to be paying somewhere along the line for that, surely. And I mean, if you're doing something today and you're getting something and you don't have to pay for 5 years, you're really gambling that in 5 years' time you're going to be in a position to pay for it, aren't you?
Yes, and I guess that's just another of those kind of examples of products that I mentioned before that, you know, might not appear to be credit up front, but effectively they are. So often those scenarios occur when someone maybe purchases some furniture or a large item at a homeware store, for example, and they enter into a contract like that. And essentially what they're doing is entering into a credit contract. And what happens is that if you don't make any payments during that interest-free period, at the end of that period, retrospectively interest is applied, and often the interest rate is higher than a standard credit card rate. So again, it's sort of targeting people who can't afford to pay at the point of sale but need or want certain items. But ultimately, often they pay for it, you know, dollars-wise in the long run.
Kim, unfortunately, I've got to go. It's been fascinating. I'd love to talk to you maybe in the first quarter of next year again, just to, if you're available.
Yes.
And I encourage people to contact Judith. Unfortunately, the 2 o'clock news won't wait for me. So
that's
again,
fine.
Thank you for your time, Kim. And I really hope that anybody who's sitting at home does take an advantage and get hold of you. And it's not, well, there's no cost. And maybe we need to talk a bit about, we've talked a lot of generalised. We haven't talked about such things as the gambling and the others. So I'd love to talk to you sometime early in the new year.
Absolutely. No, thank you for the opportunity today.
Thanks, Kim. Bye.